I got to where I was pouring vodka in my coffee every morning before I'd brush my teeth, and that ain't good, you know, and I was not stupid enough to think that that was good. I mean, I knew that was, I was in mighty deep when I was doing that, and so finally one morning I was feeling terrible, and I looked in the mirror and I asked myself, what are you doing, man? You're about to lose everything. You're about to lose your family, your job. This is crazy. You're smarter than this. And I asked God to help me.
Now, baby, don't worry. If it troubles your mind, it'll all wash away, girl. In the river of time, you need a shoulder. I'll be around, be your rock to hold on to till the river goes down. It's hell and high water that you're going through, but come hell or high water, I'll be here waiting for you. I can't keep you from crying, and I can't stop your pain. Bright as the sunshine, never could stop the rain. But you know that I'll be there, just like that old song. I'll be your good morning when your crying's all done. It's hell and high water that you're going through, but come hell or high water, I'll be here waiting for you.
Welcome to SGNP. Sit back for the next few minutes and hear stories heard nowhere else, on radio, in a magazine, or on the internet. We're the audible voice of gospel music. Our sole purpose at SGNP is to inspire, edify, encourage, and entertain. Now, here's our host, Darren Sutherland, and his partner, Southern Gospel Music Association president and lead singer for Dolly Parton's own quartet, The Kingdom Heirs, Arthur Rice. What's wrong with living right anyway?
Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
And welcome back once again to SGNP. Darren Sutherland, my co-host, SGMA president and lead singer for the Kingdom Heirs in Dollywood, Arthur Rice. Arthur, how you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. You know, hey, doing good.
You know what I always get tongue-tied with?
What's that?
Say SGNP, SGMA, three times real fast and see if you can do it.
I know it. the day I did the show, you won't know I'm here. I butchered SGMP.
Well, don't worry, brother. You know, it don't matter who we are. I'm teasing. But anyway, it is easy to butcher. SGNP is kind of like ESPN. Used to be called Entertainment and Sports Programming Network. Now it's called ESPN. Maybe we'll just start calling it SGNP and then wear it, quit worrying about the Southern Gospel News podcast. But Southern Gospel is where we all come from. But today, Arthur, we got a special guest coming on with us that's a little bit outside the box of Southern Gospel, but his testimony is going to touch people. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I know it is. I'm excited about it.
T. Graham Brown's going to join us. You know T. Graham had great, great country hits. And then had that great gospel album, Forever Changed, that came on. He's going to tell his story this afternoon. And I promise you this, folks, your child, your grandchild, your husband, your wife, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents, your grandpa, somebody you work with may not be a gospel music fan, but they'll want to hear this story today from T. Graham Brown because, Arthur, quite frankly, he'll reach people from the stage that you, the Kingdom Heirs, would probably never be able to reach. And he'll reach people on the air that I could never reach.
Absolutely.
And he's got a gifted story. And just before we take this break and play a commercial, give the folks just a feel of what they're going to hear, Arthur.
Well, it's human. You know, it's stuff that a lot of people struggle with and how the Lord can use us and touch us. And after he gets us straightened out, how he can continue to bless us and use us for him and for his glory. And I think they're going to enjoy it.
I agree with that 150%. And I also think this is for that hidden church member. And you know what I'm talking about. Those folks that say they love the Lord, but you never see them. You follow what I'm saying? There's a lot of those out there that need the help. And, hey, but the greatest part about the whole story with T. Graham that we're going to talk about today is the victory on the other side. Is that a good way to put it?
That's good.
That's a good way to put it. Hey, you can always check us out at SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com, at SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. Go to our Facebook page, Southern Gospel News Podcast. Be with one of the other 14, 15,000 members that are part of that. And, you know, you go to Twitter and find us, SGNP Podcast. You can go to Instagram and find us. You can hear us on great radio stations all across the country, like Catfish Country over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 101.1. Go up to WLJA in Canton, Georgia, North Metro Atlanta. Listen to us all over there. How about the Word FM in Cleveland, Ohio? Check them out from time to time. WNIV every Sunday after church in the heart of downtown Atlanta. Yes, you can hear us on 970 AM WNIV every Sunday when you get out of church at 12 o'clock. Now, I know what most of you are saying, and you know you're saying this too, Arthur. I ain't going to be in downtown Atlanta at 12 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I'm just not going to be there. You couldn't pay me to be in downtown Atlanta at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Matter of fact, the Braves didn't even like being in downtown Atlanta. That's why they moved out to Smyrna. But anyway. But anyway, you can hear us in downtown Atlanta, and we're growing daily, and you can hear our podcast anywhere in the world. Find Arthur's group at thekingdomheirs.com. Find all his new records. That album's doing pretty good, is it not, Arthur? Just came out last week.
Yeah. In fact, I just found out it's number one album
on Billboard.
On Billboard, yeah.
Man.
Just found out today, in fact.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. In fact, it's out for Southern Gospel album. We're
there
number seven. Number seven in the Contemporary Christian album, number eight in the Christian Gospel album, and number seven on the Heatseekers album, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
See? Check it out.
So, Everything in Between.
Everything in Between on SGNP.
Hi, this is Toranda, and you're listening to SGNP.
Darren Sutherland here once again with you, and got to take a little short break and talk about one of our companies that make SGNP possible, MyPillow and Arthur. Rumor has it they were supposed to mail you some of their new premium sheets, and
got them.
They're great sheets, and
got them.
You
got them.
But what else did you? What else did you get? I mean, you called me and you said, "Man, they sent me bed sheets like you promised." Yep. But you said your wife was jumping them. They're jizza cotton sheets or something like that. But what else did you get?
They sent some pillows, and it worked out great because, of course, my wife and I have had pillows, and so the boys are so excited because they've got pillows now, and so they're excited. But man, I love these sheets; they're awesome. The cool thing about them is you know, most of the mattresses now are so thick that, you know, normal sheets, they won't stay on. You know, every morning you got up and you got to put the fitted sheet back on where it's come off during the night. Man, these things are great; they're really deep, and we've had them on for, I don't know, a week or so now, and they ain't come off one time. So.
There you go. 60-day money-back guarantee. Deep pockets to fit every corner of any mattress. Ultra-soft, breathable, extremely durable, satin woven from Egypt, I believe. I think they get the cotton in there. And that's MyPillow. Give them a call today, 1-800-544-8939. 1-800-544-8939. Make sure you use the code, the promo code SGNP. For MyPillow, Mike Lindell and the guys support gospel music. Why not support a company that supports gospel music? MyPillow, 1-800-544-8939. Use the offer code SGNP. Get you some like Arthur. You like them, don't you, Arthur?
I love
them. Oh, yeah. To the very beginning. And the Presley guys, y'all sound great, guys. They say that I'm the kind of man who always speaks his mind. Tell me there's nothing stronger than the truth. They can ask me almost anything and I'll tell it like it is. But darling, when they ask me about you, I tell it like it used to be when you were still in love with me, before you got too used to me and wanted someone new. I tell it like it ought to be.
Y'all sound good over there.
'Cause how it is killing me when they stronger. I could tell them that you're gone. Oh, but that's one thing that I may never do. If they want to hear about our love and how it all went wrong, well, darling, they'll just have to talk to you. I tell it like it used to be when you were still in love with me, before you got to
Welcome back to SGNP. Darren Sutherland, my co-host Arthur Rice, and on the line with us from up there in West Central Tennessee. Is a Georgia boy, Athens graduate, I believe, from the University of Georgia, but grew up down there in South Georgia. How do you pronounce it? Arabia or Arab? How do you pronounce that name? I always mess it up.
Arabic. Well, what it is, and plus I dropped out of Georgia when I was a junior, so I didn't graduate. But okay. Sheila, my wife of 40 years, got 2 master's degrees, so she made up for it.
You got it.
We got this farm. Both sides of my family are farmers.
Yeah.
And we got this farm. It's right outside of Commerce, Georgia. And that's where my folks are from. This farm's been in our family for 7 generations. It's been there a long time. And so my daddy grew up on this farm, and he went to Georgia. He worked his way through Georgia, and he graduated, I think, in 1960. And I would have been 6 years old. And he went down to South Georgia. He got a job selling corn seed and wheat and rye and all that to farmers and to grain elevators and retailers that sold seed. So his territory was South Georgia. So this was before I-75 was built.
Yeah.
And he was going down 41, and he stopped in Araby and liked it. Just met some folks and drank a Coca-Cola with them, and he just liked it. Ain't but 300 people lived down there at that time, and I don't think probably 400 live there now, something like
that's
that.
That's true.
It's basically stayed the same. We stayed down there till 1970, so that's where I did my main growing up. Yeah. Was in Araby in South Georgia. And he moved us back up to Athens when I was in the 10th grade. So we finished high school there, and I went to Georgia from there. And then I started singing it when I was going to Georgia.
Yeah.
I went up there to play baseball, and I never did get to play. And I walked on the team trying to make the team. I turned down 3 other scholarships because I wanted to stay in Athens.
Yeah.
And the coach, I got this offer to sing at the Holiday Inn over there. And the guy told me he'd pay me $150 a week. So, which was big money back then. It was in 1973.
Yeah.
And it was fall practice. I remember it was like September of 73. And I went to fall baseball practice that day. And I told the coach that all I'd ever wanted to do was play baseball, because that's all I ever had done. And that really was what I wanted to do. And I said, man, I just can't make any headway over here, and it's frustrating, but I want to play. But I got this job over there singing, and the guy offered me this money, and I don't know what to do. What do you think I ought to do? And the coach looked in my eyes. He put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Tony, if I was you, I'd go sing. So that was the beginning of my singing career and the end of my baseball career. It's the best advice I ever got, I guess. He was like a grandfatherly kind of guy. And so that's when I started singing, was in October of 73, and I never have quit.
Since 86, you've had albums on the charts, but a lot of folks don't know this, and quite frankly, I didn't know about it till I read about you. But you were in the same industry I was in for a long time, the advertising industry, and you got your start singing jingles on commercials for Ingles and McDonald's and all kind of folks. How'd you get into that?
Well, I never was in really the advertising business. I had a guy, when I moved to Nashville, I started all over. I didn't know how it worked here. I didn't know anybody here. I just basically hit the pavement telling people how great I was. And it took a while for somebody to finally give me a job singing a demo for them, a songwriter demo. So I sang a few of those, and my voice got passed around Music Row from, you know, publishers pitching songs, and my voice was on some of the demos. So I kind of got well known from that, and I started singing more and more demos, and I got to be, I guess I was like the go-to guy for a lot of demos, especially if they wanted a kind of a soulful, raspy sound. I got all that work. Vince Gill was singing demos, and there were several of us up there singing demos and getting our voice passed around. That's how we all got our record deals. There was a guy that sent me to New York to sing a Coca-Cola commercial, and that was successful. And then I got another one and another one, and I just got to where if anybody wanted somebody that sounded like I sounded, they would call me up. And I've probably done as many jingles as anybody, I guess. I've done, you know, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, 7-Up, Budweiser, Stroh's, Miller, every beer, every soft drink, Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Hardee's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Disneyland, just on and on and on. I got Ford, Dodge. I did all the cars and trucks, all the everything. I did Sometimes You Feel Like a Nut, Sometimes You Don't. I did that for 7 years.
Wow.
So I've done just a bunch of them, and it's easy to do. They call me up, I go over to the studio, and it takes me like 30 minutes to do it. Then they pay me every time they play, you know, TV or radio. And so it was a good side job for me. And that was how that worked. And even after I got my record deal, I kept getting calls. So I kept doing them. And then I started doing those Taco Bell commercials, and they put them on TV, and they put me in the commercials on TV, which was a good lick for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've done a little bit of everything, man.
Man, you was Brandon before Brandon was a key word then back in the day, and didn't even realize it, so to speak.
Well,
from about 85 to 91, I would say, just from the outside looking in, T, that was your peak years. I mean, you were hot as a firecracker. You know, number one country songs, top songs on, it seemed like every other album you had something good, you know, from Hell or High Water to, you know, to Darlene to a lot of great songs. What was that time period in your life like when you was just blowing it away?
Well, I had a pretty good run, you know. I never was the biggest star in the world, but I had a good run on country radio for sure.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It's kind of a blur, man. They were working me pretty hard back then. I was out on the road, you know, 320 days a year. I was never at home. I was just going from show to show to show. It's just hard to remember that part of the whole thing. Now, we're not out there chasing a hit. Our son has grown up and gotten married and moved out and all that. So it's just me and Sheila, and we're having more fun now than we ever had, man. She travels with me, and she's my best friend. She's got my back, and we're just enjoying life way more, I think, than back then. We don't work as hard. Thank goodness we don't have to work as hard. And, you know, if a show comes in and we don't want to do it, we just turn it down, and it never has been that way before. It's just always been work, work, work. So we're having a good time, man. Everything's great. God's taking care of us. You know, we're trying to do what we think God wants us to do, and we try to help people out. And we're part of this church building ministry called International Cooperating Ministries. They've been around about 25 years now. They're out of Virginia Beach, and we build just little churches in third world countries, and we built over 7,000 churches so far. And that's a lot of churches.
That is a lot of churches.
We just build little churches, you know. A lot of times it's just four walls and a roof where people can get in out of the weather and have church. And it's a great thing. There's this wealthy guy. He's in his 90s now, and golly, he might even be 100 now. And he put up all this money back at the beginning, so that all the overhead's paid for, all the secretaries and the lights and heat and all that, so that when you give a dollar to them, a dollar goes to the church building. There's nothing taken out off the top of the dollar to pay for things. You know, most charities, they have to take money off the top to pay the CEO and pay all the stuff, and maybe 60% of the dollar might be all that goes toward the actual charity, but this one is like 99%, something like that, which is pretty much unheard of. And So we just go all over the world, and I mean, we've built churches in China and Russia and everywhere.
It's just been a good thing. T,
when I was doing my
homework about you, my friend, and reading about you and hearing your story and listening to your story, you talked about the song that you wrote, Wine into Water, that a lot of our listeners know and a lot of people have heard, and it's a song that's going to stand through the ages. It's one of those type of songs. Can you go through a little bit about your life when you wrote that song, and then when you finally decided to release it, you felt like it was time that the Lord would have you to do that?
Well, I got to where I was just drinking and drugging all the time. I never would go on stage that way, but I would, after the shows, I would stay up all night and drink and smoke pot and or whatever it is I had. I would do it, man. Somebody give me a pill or something and I'd take it, and then I'd ask them what it was. I didn't even care. And you came from
a church family, right? Your mom and daddy and your family was church people.
Yeah, big time. Okay. Big time.
Right.
No, I was raised in the Baptist church.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to church every Sunday when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
I always said my prayers every day, even in the worst of my drunk, I would still say my prayers. And I've always been a believer. It's just that I got to where I was dull in my senses. It turns out I'm bipolar. And my doctor said, man, that was a lot of what you were trying to self-medicate yourself to try to make yourself feel normal. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I ain't trying to excuse myself, you know, it's just that was part of it, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would try to get straightened out, and I would get on a horse and ride a while and fall off, and get on a horse and ride a while and fall off. And then Bruce Birch and Ted Hewitt, they were friends of mine, and they knew what I was going through. And so we sat down and wrote Wine into Water, and I was with them. That was in 1995. We wrote Wine into Water. And I was with them the other day. We wrote a song for the farmers the other day, and we were talking about it. And none of us remember writing it. It was like we looked down, and it was there on the paper. It was one of those songs that I think God just... I don't know how to explain it. It was like, it was just there.
Yeah.
It just kind of appeared. It sounds strange, but that's the way it was. But I was still drinking. I never would sing it because I didn't want to be against God and be saying one thing and doing another. And, we were out at Loretta Lynn's house, and Sheila said, you need to sing this song. So I sang it, and everybody really liked it, and Loretta put it in her show and wound up cutting it. But then I would still get straightened out and fall off and straightened out and fall off. And so this last time, I just woke up one morning and I was feeling terrible. I'm sure there's non-drinkers that are listening to this show. There's drinkers and non-drinkers, but for the non-drinkers that are listening, or the non-dopers out there, when you wake up in the morning, your body aches, you're nauseated, you got a headache, you just totally feel like terrible. And the only way to get over a hangover, start drinking again. And after you have another drink or two, you're feeling good again, like normal again. And, it's just a cycle. You get into this cycle. And I got to where I was pouring vodka in my coffee every morning before I'd brush my teeth. And that ain't good, you know. And
yeah. And
I was not stupid enough to think that that was good. I mean, I knew that was – I was in mighty deep when I was doing that. And so finally one morning I was feeling terrible. And like I said, I never could stay quit. And I looked in the mirror. It's this old corny cliche of a story. I looked in the mirror, and I asked myself, what are you doing, man? You're about to lose everything. You're about to lose your family, your job. This is crazy. You're smarter than this. And I asked God to help me. And you know, man, after that, I never had another craving ever since then.
I've heard a multitude of prayers on my my behalf. And I pray one more is not too much to ask. I've tried to fight this battle by myself, but it's a war that I can't win without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water red into wine, and now on my knees I'm turning to your Father. Could you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times I've hurt the ones I love. I pushed them to the edge of giving up. They stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hands? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water red into wine, and now on my knees I'm turning to your Father. Could you help me turn the wine back into water? I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through, but now I'm begging for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Cause tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther.
So I've been able to stay straightened out. So Sheila and I have made it like our little personal ministry is to help people get straightened out and stay sober.
Yeah.
And so every show I do, everyone, I always sing Wine into Water last because I want people leaving the show with that on their mind. And I always tell people that I was scared to sing that song because I thought I was all alone and I thought it was just me. And then I found out that everybody is either just like me or know somebody real close to them just like me. And when I finally realized that, I was able to talk about it. And people that are going through this or going through drugs or whatever, I mean, it can mean anything. It can mean if you're eating too much or whatever it is that's got a hold of you. I just tell them that there's a way out, that God can help you. I tell them exactly the story I just told you. I tell people that there's craziness going on in the world, and especially the United States right now, and to not to let it shake you up too bad, because God is still on the throne 24/7, and everything's going to be all right. And I just think if you trust in God, it's, you know, trust in God and never doubt, because surely he will see you out. And that's what I believe.
Arthur, what you got?
The end. The end. Yeah. Amen.
Amen to that, my friend. Arthur, what you got, buddy?
That's right. Well, and you said, you know, a lot of folks that haven't been in your shoes, it's hard for them to understand that. I know I went through a spell with my back and with back surgery and with medication, and you know, you just want relief and you're just looking for escapism, you know, you just something to get, and it's easy to just keep doing it, and it's hard to,
it's real easy want. It's it real is. Easy to keep doing it, because I've done that, and it is easy. But you know what, man, the thing about it is these people that are out there using and that are stuck, they'll listen to me. because I've been through it. A lot of times they don't want to listen to their mama, their daddy, their brother, their neighbor, their best friend, or whatever. If they hadn't been through it, they don't want to hear about it. And the thing of it is, we all us addicts and alcoholics, we already know. We're the smartest people in the world. We already know everything. So you can't tell us nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we all think. It's like, hey, man, don't tell me nothing about it. You don't know what you're talking about and blah, blah, blah and all that because we know everything. But they'll listen to me or they'll listen to somebody just been through it.
Yep.
I mean, you can get their attention and they'll listen to you. And I have people. I mean, I just prayed with a woman that came through the autograph line the other night, last Saturday night. And she told me that her son, she said, I've just had to swear out a restraining order on him. He's all messed out and threatening me and mean and all that. And she said, I ain't going to be able to see him for 3 years. And I said, well, come here. And I just pulled her head down to me and I prayed with her right there to help him get straightened out. And I do that. I mean, that ain't the first time I've ever done that. If somebody, I could tell if they're really hurting or crying or I'll just say, come here a minute. And, you know, I'll hold the rest of those people up. You know, I don't do it out in front of everybody. I just pull them down and whispered in their ears. And, you know, God hears that too. You ain't got to be shouting about it. God can read your mind. And you can't hide from God, and he'll hear you.
No doubt.
And you can pray, you know, and you can pray for different things that you need, and he might not always grant you what you're asking for, but he's hearing you, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. And you just got to be sincere about it, man. You can't be playing around with God. You can't be playing church. You can't be playing any of this stuff because God knows what you're thinking. You ain't going to fool him. You can't run and hide from him. And that's just a plain fact. And I tried it, and I'm telling you, you can't do it. And God's got your number. And you ain't, there's just no way you're going to fool God. That just
he knows where you live. He knows where you
exactly.
live.
Exactly. So, you know, you just got to be sincere about it. And God knows if you're sincere or not. And you got to repent and be sincere about it. You know, you just can't say it. You got to do it. And it's a great feeling. I tell people, man, it's a great feeling. I got peace of mind now.
Yeah.
I don't worry about stuff. And it's a great feeling, man. And, you know, I used to think, man, that this is how I used to think. I would think about straight people.
Yeah.
I would think, man, don't these people realize there's a party going on over here? Man, they're missing out on the party. You know, they're squares. They're stupid. You know, I mean, we're having fun over here. You know, what's wrong with them? And now I know how stupid that was. You know, the best fun you can have is living for God. I mean, it's a great feeling. It ain't like it's corny. Like I thought it was, you know, like these dumb jerks over here, they're missing out on all the fun. Well, they're having all the fun, it turned out.
T, I've had a lot of my country friends tell me when they collaborate with gospel artists or even collaborate with other country artists and sing gospel music, it's some of the funnest times that they have in studio ever. What was it like when you cut your projects with the likes of the Oak Ridge Boys, Jason Crabb, Jeff and Sherry Easton, Booth Brothers, and folks like that? Because you've done some of those projects.
I'll tell you exactly how it was, man. I didn't until a few years ago when we cut that album. The Oak Ridge Boys were there one day. We were all in the studio. And I had trouble knowing what the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Spirit was. And, man, it dawned on me that day, this is it. It was in there so thick you could cut it with a knife. And I thought, okay, I get it now. I get that part of it now. And that's what I learned from cutting that record. It was like, bam, a light went on. I remember William Lee Golden was over there taking pictures of everything. And it was everything was going so good. And it was like, man, something's got his hand on us today. It was wild, man. It was, I thought, well, golly, here it is. And it was great fun doing it. And having Jason Crab in there with you and Jimmy Fortune and Sonya Isaacs and hearing them sing, it was great. You know, all those people did a great job. And the late, great Leon Russell was in there. And it was, he was a wonderful man. He was a great guy. And it was just kind of magic, I guess, is another way of saying it. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just perfect.
You know, I looked it up, and this is what I found out. Where's truth? Truth in the love. Yeah, that's right. I know he said to the blind man, open your eyes and see. And I know he said to the lame man, stand up and follow me. I know that he walked on the water. He said, look what faith will do. Turn the water into wine. And then he fed on the multitude.
How do you know?
I know by the way I feel.
How do you know?
I know 'cause the joy is real. I know, 'cause I've been set free, and there's truth in the love you gave to me. I didn't get it at Sunday school when they tried to put the fear in me. Talking about fire and brimstone and burning in eternity. I didn't get it when they came knocking, insisting on witnessing me. And I sure didn't get it from a TV preacher or trying to get all my money.
How do you know?
I just know by the way I feel.
How do you know?
I just know 'cause the joy is real.
How do you know?
I just know 'cause I've been set free. And there's truth in the love you gave to me. Evaluation. Yeah, he's a friend I know in any situation. Oh, I bet you can't beat that. What a real good new best friend I got.
The whole reason we did that album was to have monies from it go to International Cooperating Ministries. That was the whole deal, was to raise some money to build churches. And so we were doing it for the right reason, and God blessed it.
Yeah.
And it turned out great for us. It was the best record I've ever made. I had a lot of friends on it. Cracker Barrel, we didn't know how we were going to sell it. We were going to sell it at shows, at our merch table, and, you know, just anywhere we could. And then Cracker Barrel got on board with it, which was huge. And then Sony picked it up.
Wow.
Sony out of New York picked it up. And that was huge. So, and then we got a Grammy nomination on top of it. So it was crazy the way it all came together.
It's a God thing.
So I know exactly. It was exactly a God thing. So anybody listening out there, I'm telling you, man, you get God on your side and you can do anything.
Talking about doing anything, before we let you go, you got to tell folks about your new XM and Sirius radio show. You're turning into a disc jockey like myself now. Got your own little show and having a lot of fun with it.
I had this idea about 4 years ago to play nothing but live cuts off of people's live albums, so it would be like going to a concert. So you could be riding down the road or at your house or whatever, and I would kind of take you around the country at different artists' live shows. So I played two songs from every artist, like the first show. The second installment's airing right now in October. The next one, let me look it up. The next one's going to be Tuesday, October the 15th at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. So it's on Prime Country. It's on a channel called Prime Country. It's number 58 on Sirius. And it's called Live Wire. Live Wire with T. Graham Brown. And I play live cuts. This month is, I got Tanya Tucker and Winona, George Strait. I can't remember right off the top of my head.
But you got a lot of good friends on there having a lot of good fun telling a lot of truths and having a lot of laughs.
Exactly. And I tell stories in between, and it's a fun show. You just have to listen to it to see what I'm talking about. But I take people around the country to different venues, different artists doing their live shows. And so I was trying to get serious to do it for the last 4 years. And finally this year, or a few months ago, earlier this year, they said, okay, we'll do it.
There you go.
And so I've done two of them. So I do one a month, and they air it like 6 or 7 times during the month, and different times and different days where everybody has a chance to tune in, and going in Tuesday and do another one for a November. And yeah, it's fun, man. Yeah, it's easy. It's fun. And like the other day, I had Marty Stewart in the studio, and we talked. We go back to the very beginning. We came out with our major label music the same year. And I got this picture, man. I showed Marty. It's fun, and I don't know where I got it, but we were all up for the ACM, the Academy of Country Music, Best New Male Vocalist, and we were all standing up against this wooden fence, and in a row, and it was Marty Stewart, Keith Whitley, with a cigarette in his hand. He always was smoking a cigarette, Keith Whitley was.
Yeah.
And him and Lori Morgan, we'd go out to eat, and they are the only people I've ever met that smoked while they ate, not after they ate.
Only in Mississippi can you do that now.
They would take a bite of food, chew it up, swallow, take a drag off a cigarette, take another bite. I mean, it was crazy. But there's a guy named Billy Burnett. He's with Fleetwood Mac now. He was up for it. Me and Randy Travis, and Randy won. But this picture, we're all young, and it's really funny. So Marty was laughing about it. But I'm getting all kind of people in there. I've interviewed, hadn't put them on yet, but I got the Gatlins, and I got Jimmy Fortune, and
nice.
Mo Bandy, and Shenandoah, and I'm Mark Will. I go to the Opry. When we're playing the Opry, I go to everybody's dressing room and kind of interview them a little bit. And yeah, it's fun. So I'm having a good, the whole moral of the story is I'm having a blast.
Nice.
And I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and I'm just having, like I said, more fun we've ever had.
That's awesome.
Arthur, what you got before we close it out with T. Graham?
I'm just excited how the Lord's using you, and you can tell he's got his hand on you and blessing you, and we're just going to pray for you and continue.
Well, thanks.
Keep it up, brother.
If T ever finds himself at Dollywood and walks into your theater to watch the King Demers, will you pull him up on stage and let him do a song with the King Demers?
Absolutely.
See, I got you.
He ain't going to have to pull me up. I'm going to storm the stage. He ain't going to have any choice.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
I'm going to storm the stage and sing Beulah Land and then get down.
There you go.
We got a band that can play your music.
There we go.
That's good. We'll throw a country hit or two at them and sing Beulah Land and leave them wanting more.
There we go. Tell you what you got before we leave you this afternoon. I appreciate you spending this 30-something minutes with us. I know you're busy, but you know your story's going to reach thousands of people. And I tell everybody everywhere we go, and when we do this show, we say, if you or I was in Athens, Georgia this evening, and we walked in the American Legion in the backside, and we talked to two old boys drinking a beer that was playing pool, and said, do y'all love gospel music? No doubt they would say they love it, because it's people's stories like yours and people's stories like your grandparents and your parents that instilled that faith in them many, many years ago. They might not be living it like they're supposed to, but through stories like yours and so many others, they're turning it around. And thank you for being honest and comfortable in your own skin to just tell us like it is, because so many people just, if we had another 30 minutes, I'd ask you how your wife stood you for all them years and then stood beside you. You married an angel, my friend.
Well, she told me, I asked her, and she said, I knew you were going to come around. I was just waiting on you to come around. So Yeah, I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for her and the grace of God. I'd be dead. I mean, there's no doubt I would be dead. I fully, totally believe that. And you know, I was talking to Gene Watson.
Yeah.
You know who Gene Watson
is? Oh, yes. No doubt.
I was talking to Gene Watson, and he was telling me, he said, my mama had us in church every time the doors opened, whether we wanted to go or not. She told them, you might not always live right, but you're going to know right. So that was the way I was, man. I knew right, but I wasn't living right. But now I think I'm living right. So, yeah, everything's beautiful. And tell your listeners, God bless every one of them. God loves every one of them. And God bless the United States of America.
T, I appreciate it, my friend. I know Arthur appreciates it.
Thanks for having me on your show, man.
No problem, boss man. T. Graham Brown on SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Close your eyes and visualize that day in spring, the moment that I met you. From the start, down in my heart, I knew for sure I never would forget you. Now I see what I used to be, and I'll never be again. Oh, I remain forever changed. You touch my hand and life began as I stood there staring at an angel. Time stood still when you revealed that tender smile to a perfect stranger. Now I see what I used to be, and I'll never. Like a rock standing by and steady. For what it's worth, when I leave this earth, because of you, I know I will be ready. Now I see what I used to be. Yes, I remain forever changed. Whoa, I remain forever changed. Forever changed.
T. Graham Brown. What a story, Arthur. What a story. I mean, he basically told us the truth. I mean, he didn't hide it. I mean, this is, you know, folks, there was a 7-year period where he was one of the top artists. He was up for ACM Country Soloist of the Year against names like Randy Travis and Marty Stewart and other folks, Arthur. You know, when you're that popular and you're that big, you've really got no, I mean, he's got to want to come on and tell a story like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because money's not driving him. I mean, he's been blessed. He basically said that. But he's got a heart for the Lord, and he's got a heart for seeing things change. He cut that album. That gospel album he was talking about, folks, was called Forever Changed. And you can go on Amazon, I'm sure, and buy that, or go to his website, and you just Google T. Graham Brown. .com, or just look up tgrahambrown.com, and you can find it. And heck, Arthur, when he cuts the next gospel album, you need to take King Damaris over there and get on that thing.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. Yeah, man.
What's your thoughts, Arthur, about this interview? What'd you think?
Well, you know, so many times we look at people and we think, well, they're not going through what I'm going through, or they're not struggling with the things that I'm struggling with, and the addiction that I'm struggling with, that they don't know what I'm going through, but they are, and everybody's going through something.
Yep.
And the Lord is there to help all of us, and if we'll just trust Him and just turn it over to Him, you know, He can reach any of us.
You know, He reminded me of something my grandmother told me years ago. And she said years ago, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Mm-hmm. And what she was saying wasn't, don't think about heaven, son, because heaven's the greatest thing in the world to think about. Mm-hmm. But don't separate yourself from the rest of the world where they can't identify heaven and Jesus in you and how He's worked through your life. And T. Graham Brown would probably tell us if we had him back on the air, hey, dude, I mess up still today. But I know what changed me. Yeah. I know what changed me. You think that's a fair way to put an assumptive close on this thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You've been listening once again to Southern Gospel News Podcast. Our special guest today was T. Graham Brown, a gospel artist. We can say gospel artist because he got one of the best gospel albums out there and sang with some of our best friends, Jason Crabb, Booth Brothers, Jeff and Cherry Easter, and so many more with that Forever Changed. And remember, every bit of proceeds for that album goes to...
I see him.
There you go. Plus, he's got that new show on Prime Country where he talks to some of his best friends on Sirius XM Radio. Take a listen to that. You can always look that up online for your information. Arthur, got one last thing. I want to close out with you before we get out. You
know, yes, sir.
What's wrong with living right anyway?
Hey, not a thing.
Not a thing. You've been listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Thank you for listening to SGNP. If you're listening on radio, please note you can listen to our podcast 24/7 on your own schedule. Just download wherever you get your podcasts from, or visit us online at southerngospelnewspodcast.com. To hear it on your smart speaker, just ask Alexa or Google to play Southern Gospel News Podcast. And after listening, please leave a remark in the remarks section and subscribe, and you'll receive our program free every Friday. And remember to check out Southern Gospel News Podcast's social media for daily fun and giveaways. We're the audible voice of gospel music. We look to uplift you every week. SGNP, where it's all about the gospel.